Shabbat Shalom. So I greet you in the name of the crucified and risen Messiah. We're learning from the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Today it's going to be verse 10, where the holy apostle Paul saith in the King James, "For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So I have a question for you. Has anyone ever warned you or expressed perhaps concern to you, concern that you might be placing yourself under a curse, under God's curse, by keeping the Torah, by keeping the Sabbath maybe, for example, keeping the Sabbath, or perhaps eating kosher, that you're placing yourself, like, whoa, brother, why would you put yourself under the curse of the law? Don't you know that those who are of the works of the law are under a curse? Maybe you haven't heard that sentiment. I think maybe a few of you have, but maybe not so much nowadays. You'd have to go back to Maya days. I don't think you would have heard it so much nowadays, because what seems to be happening is, as biblical literacy wanes, people are less and less aware of the basis for their own theology. But in the past, one certainly could have expected to hear such a sentiment expressed. Under a curse. That's harsh. And I wonder how many believers have been scared off from the good things of Torah, from keeping the Sabbath, for example, or the festivals, because they were afraid that by doing so they might be placing themselves under a curse. And I wonder, to what extent this passage, have you ever thought of this, Galatians 3:10, this passage that we're reading, to what extent is this responsible for the vilification of the Jewish people, who by common consent of early church theologians are an accursed race? It does follow quite naturally. As many are of the works of the law are under a curse. Therefore, the Jewish people who are of the works of the law are an accursed people. And when people are accursed, it's a lot easier to justify bigotry against them, easier to justify brutalizing them. So Galatians 3:10 is an important text for a theological anti-Semitism, for anti-Judaism, and for anti-Torah sentiment in general. A person might say, well, I'd love to keep the Torah, or I'd love to keep God's holy blessed day, His blessed day, the Sabbath, but I'm afraid that if I keep the blessed Sabbath day, I will be cursed. So once more, we have back here in the book of Galatians, we have yet another text, another obscured, misread, misused, misapplied, problematic text. And I like it from the King James. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. How do we deal with this? Now, once again, this verse is not a problem for the majority of Christian theology, is it? The meaning is self-evident. Those who practice the Torah are under a curse. But that does not work for us in the Messianic Jewish movement. It certainly does not work for us here at Beth Emmanuel Sabbath Fellowship. And it doesn't work for Paul either, since we know from his own admission, what do we know? That he himself was a Torah keeper, Sabbath observant, and everything. A Jew, in fact. In fact, a Pharisee. So by that logic, Paul would be placing himself under a curse in Galatians 3:10. So how are we to understand this passage? Now, you notice I've been quoting the King James Version here. I've been quoting the King James because it's more literal than our English Standard Version. If you look in the English Standard Version of Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse." Which helps clear up the question. All who rely on works of the law. And that is actually certainly a better thought for thought, as they call it, translation. A paraphrase, in other words, a paraphrase which conveys the sense and the intention of the phrase. That, in other words, that's what Paul meant. But it's not what Paul said. The English Standard Version translators have supplied the word rely, and they did well to do so. It brings a lot of clarity. But when Paul wrote the Epistle to the Galatians, he didn't say all who rely. He just said those who are of the works of the law. So literally, it sounds like Paul is saying that those who keep the Torah are under a curse. And this should be really troubling. This should be really troubling because then the logical, think about this, let's go with this for a minute, just go with everybody who keeps the Torah is under a curse, because the logical implication then is that in order to avoid this curse, to reverse this curse, you should be doing the exact opposite of everything that the Torah says. Otherwise, you might fall under this obligation of keeping the Torah, and if you don't continue to keep it, then you're under a curse. So the only two options by this logic are to keep all of it flawlessly and without error, or none of it whatsoever. And if you were perhaps to honor your father and mother, that being a law in the Torah, might it not place you under this dread curse? So you see the problem, and the solution to the problem is to reach back to earlier sermons with me. If you've been following along, we're still plugging through the book of Galatians, and it's been quite a while now. But we have already learned that the term, Paul's term, works of the law, works of the law, does not refer to just any commandments of Torah whatsoever. Instead, we learn that Paul uses the term works of the law in a very narrow, in a very specific sense. He uses it specifically to refer to those commandments which identify a person as Jewish, such as circumcision. So it's not as if we're talking about obedience to God in general. That's not the idea. We are talking about Jewish obedience. Obedience to the commandments which are specifically incumbent upon the Jewish people. These are the commandments that defined Jewish status in the first century, in the days of the apostles, in first century Judaism. Beginning with circumcision as an act of legal conversion. We should have that point down by now. So when Paul uses the term, as many are of the works of the law, there are only two groups of people he is identifying. Number one, Jews who are born Jewish and are Jewish. And number two, Gentiles who have undergone a conversion to become legally Jewish and are no longer Gentiles but have now become Jewish. Proselytes, in other words. So these two type of people, people who are legally Jewish, one type of people now, people who are legally Jewish, whether by birth or conversion, these people are under this troubling curse. So, now you might think, well, wait a second. What if a person was medically circumcised? Does that put under the curse then? Or what if, suppose that you have a Jewish grandparent? You yourself not halakhically Jewish, but suppose you have a Jewish grandparent. Are you under the curse? Nope, not under the curse. What if you're a God-fearing Gentile, but you keep the Sabbath, and once you kept kosher, or you like didn't order ham or something, does that put you under the curse? No, doesn't put you under the curse. according to Paul, only Israel according to the flesh, that is, those who are of the works of the law, will fall under this curse. And what is this curse? Kind of spooky, isn't it? Paul says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law, the book of the Torah, to do them. Where is this written? It is written. Where is it written? It's written in the Torah. He's quoting from the conclusion of the covenant ceremony for Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. He's quoting from the end of Deuteronomy 27, the last verse of Deuteronomy 27, where it says, cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say amen. And that's the last verse of chapter 27. And then chapter 28 of Deuteronomy begins. And as you know, chapter 28 is the full treatment. The covenant blessings that Israel will attain for keeping the Torah and the withering curses that they will invoke for covenant infidelity for breaking the Torah. It's a long chapter. Therefore, in its proper Torah context, this cursedness that Paul speaks of is not some New Testament imprecation that he has just introduced. Instead, he is reminding his readers of what the Torah has always said, what the Bible has always said, that there are consequences for violating the covenant. So in that sense, Paul is just stating the obvious. He's just saying what the Bible says, has always said, the people of Israel receive consequences for violating the Torah. Moses himself could have told you that. Every prophet that ever prophesied told you that. There's no new information here in Galatians 3:10. So let me offer a simple paraphrase of Galatians 3:10. Here's what Paul says. He says, every legally Jewish person who doesn't keep the Torah is under a curse because that's what it says in the Torah. Basically, that's what Paul said. Now, it certainly does not mean that you should not keep the Torah. That was not the intention. That was not the apostle's intention. And it does not mean that if a God-fearing Gentile begins to honor the Sabbath or chooses to eat kosher, that he places himself under a curse. Not at all. That's not the intention. It does not mean that Torah observance as a simple act of obedience to Hashem and conformity to His Word invokes a curse, which would be a bizarre theology. But why would God just state the obvious? Why would Paul just state the obvious? If he's just reiterating what the Torah says, has always said, about the consequences for Israel's disobedience to her covenant with Hashem, then what is the point of the passage? Okay, now, we're going to get back inside here. Inside Galatians, so to speak, and the context of Galatians. We've learned about this group of people influencing the Galatian Gentiles, the God-fearing Gentiles that Paul's writing to. Remember, what did we call them? Influencers. That's right. Mark Nanos made that up. But influencers, that's what we're calling them. The influencers have certain theological assumptions. And one of those is that only Israel proper, that is those who are legally Jewish, have a standing in the Messianic Kingdom, in the Kingdom of Heaven, that is, and are guaranteed a share in the world to come, the resurrection, that is. Nevertheless, the influencers, they are believers in Yeshua. They are messianic, I think. Doesn't really matter. But more than that, I think we can argue that they themselves are Gentile converts to Judaism, one-time Gentiles themselves, Gentiles who have taken on the so-called works of the law, gone under the law, become Jewish. So the influencers, as I understand them, are proselytes who are pressuring believing Gentiles to also become proselytes. All right, this is my theory of influencers. So here's a shocker. The influencers don't teach salvation by faith. Okay, we got that. But this, maybe not so well. Neither do the influencers teach salvation by works, by doing good works. That's not their theology either. No. They teach salvation by being Jewish. Salvation by Jewish status. A status which is attained by going through circumcision and taking on the commandments, the works of the law, the commandments that identify a person as Jewish. So I think we can, you know what, as far as this goes, if you leave the influencers alone for a second, I think we can find some parallels in the church, in Christian confession. For example, traditionally, if you were Catholic at one time, or still are, traditionally within Catholicism, we would learn in the catechism that salvation is imparted to us through the sacraments. Yes? The sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist being the primary mechanisms by which a person attains recognized standing as a Catholic. And without that standing as a Christian within the Roman confession, one has no assurance of the world to come. That's my understanding. From when I learned the catechism, I hope I have not mischaracterized it. We find a similar theology in other Christian confessions. So some of you are Lutheran or were Lutheran. So we find in the Lutheran confession the idea that the sacrament of baptism remains as the basis for acquiring the status of eligibility for heaven and the resurrection. And this is not different than just about any other religion or Christian religion. By its very nature, I think religion, especially monotheistic religions, inevitably form some sort of institutional status. And then the assumption is that those within the institution, that their membership in the institution, in their particular institution, is a prerequisite for salvation, right? So, therefore, if you're a fundamentalist, how do you know if you're a fundamentalist? If you're a fundamentalist, purist, who does not anticipate, you know the type, even if you aren't one, maybe you know one. The fundamentalist has no anticipation of encountering someone from a different denomination or sect in the world to come, in heaven, right? Doctrinal purity, maybe that's it. Right confession, you know, maybe that's it. It's a new sacrament. Having the right confession, believing the right things, the right beliefs, is the new sacrament. All of these become criteria for what makes a Christian. What is a real Christian? So, beyond achieving some institutional status, whether it's any one of these aforementioned groups, matters of obedience, like personal devotion to God, or commitment to His commandments and directives and instruction in our lives, and so forth, these are all regarded of less consequence than that institutional status. I don't say they're not inconsequential. They're not regarded as inconsequential, but certainly of less consequence than having the right criteria of meeting the institutional baseline norms. So, for example, consider cheap grace, Bonhoeffer's term. Cheap grace, what is cheap grace that Bonhoeffer wrote against? It's the idea that a person is baptized and then can do whatever he wants for the rest of his life, and he's still in. He's in. He's in like Flynn. Why? Because he was baptized. When was he baptized? He's baptized. Regardless of his behavior, cheap grace. Bonhoeffer's problem with that. Here's my question. Is it possible that the influencers in Galatia subscribe to a similar theological premise? I believe it is. I believe that this is one of the concerns, the primary concerns of the Apostle Paul. What would it look like? It would look like this. Just go through conversion, get your Jewish status, and you're off the hook for the rest. Because once you're in, you're in. And then you don't need to worry anymore. You don't need to. So it's not, they're not teaching salvation by works. That's not quite it. Neither is it salvation by grace. It's salvation by status. So we see the same result in the church. This is what I'm talking about. People adopting the right rituals, saying the right words, and then living the rest of their lives in disregard for the demands of their confession. So you get in the club, don't have to worry about the rest. Turn to Romans chapter 2. I'll show you what Paul's concern is. I think we see Paul clearly articulate this objection, his objection to the idea, as he, in Romans 2, you know he's writing to Gentiles. He says so at the beginning of Romans, to you Gentiles. And then in Romans chapter 2, he's talking to Jews. So who are Gentiles who are also Jews? Proselytes. Romans chapter 2, Paul is speaking to Gentile believers who have already gone through the conversion ritual to become legally Jewish. These are believing proselytes, not from Paul's community, not the fruit of his gospel. Paul's never been to Rome. But Gentile believers who have become proselytes either before or after coming to know Messiah. So he says to them in verse 17, Romans 2, he says, if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the Torah and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the Torah, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind and a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the Torah the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? Well, you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And the passage goes on, but you get the point right away. Paul's saying, it's not about status if you aren't living the life. And it goes on to say that it's not those who are of the law who are justified, but those who are keeping the law. So if we go back to Galatians then, almost to the end of the epistle, look at this in Galatians 6, where we're winding down. Little sneak peek ahead. Galatians 6, verse 13. Wonder how far that is away, huh? It says, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. Paul's talking directly here about the influencers. He's talking directly about this group we've called the influencers. He's saying, even those who are circumcised, these proselytes in Galatia who have gone through a conversion ritual and are influencing you to do so now, those who are circumcised, even they do not themselves keep the Torah, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. This is who the influencers are, I think. I believe. I think they are proselytes who have gone through the ritual. They're confirmed. They've gone through confirmation, so to speak. They feel they've attained the status needful for their salvation, and therefore they don't need to worry about the particulars of Torah, of the law, beyond those commandments which identify them as Jewish. So of course they keep the works of the Torah, the things that identify themselves as that makes them Jewish. I'm sure they're very Torah observant. They have a Brit Milah, Shabbatot, Kashrut, Tzitzit, Mezuzot. I'm sure that you bing, 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 bing. This is not unlike the church man who dutifully attends church, receives baptism, confirmation, affirms the confessions, goes to confession. whatever the minimum threshold is, whatever the hoops are that he needs to jump through to be part of the club and to maintain his status, but never lets faith in God, relationship with God, the demands of God, impact his real life in a significant way. You know, when I was a kid, we used to call them Sunday Christians. You ever hear that term? Sunday Christians. In Galatia, we call them Sabbath proselytes, I think. If I'm correct in this assessment, I think we can make better sense of Galatians 3:10, where Paul says, "For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not after all the things that are written in the book of the Torah to do them." So in other words, he's telling these God-fearers, if you accept this covenant membership of conversion to become Jewish, you must also accept the obligations and the responsibilities, including the imprecations, the curses of covenant infidelity. In yet other words, here's what he's saying. If you become Jewish, you're liable for the full weight of punishment spelled out by the Torah if you break the Torah. It's not a free ticket to heaven. I believe that what Paul is saying here is this. It's not a free ticket. He's going to develop this idea further to demonstrate that salvation must be a gift of grace. I know that your mind's kind of already going there maybe. But for today, that's as far as we're going. We're just going to cover one verse today. Galatians 3:10. Today was Galatians 3:10. I want to stop here because we've learned something that has serious implications. Serious implications for us, for everyone, whether you're Jewish or you're not Jewish, whether you're Catholic or Anglican or Lutheran or Fundamentalist or Presbyterian or Evangelical or Charismatic or Pentecostal, you don't know what you call yourself. The message is that real religion, real faith in God is not something that can be institutionalized or reduced to the level of a membership status. Remember those Sunday Christians? What about Saturday Messianics? Consider that. True godliness transcends your affiliation. It is not a members club where as long as you pay the dues, your membership is good. Instead, it's a relationship with Hashem. A real living relationship which we must bring to bear upon every aspect of our lives. I think adults get this at a certain point. Some do. Many do. Lip service is not adequate. What does God say through His prophet Isaiah? Through His prophet Isaiah, He says, "This people draws near to Me with their lips, with their mouth, and they honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me." He says, their religion, their fear of Me, their fear of God is the commandments of men. In other words, their fear of God has been replaced by institutional religious membership. Sacraments and Sabbaths are not adequate. He begins, the prophet Isaiah says, remember this passage? He says, "Bring no more vain sacrifices. Incense is an abomination. New moon and Sabbaths and the calling of holy convocations I cannot endure. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assemblies. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates them. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you make many prayers." Words of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. God has to impact our whole life. His words should be informing our thoughts, behaviors, decisions in every place, in every time, not just religion time. True godliness consists of this continual seeking after the Lord, that we might know Him, that we might know the will of our Father in heaven and do it on earth as it is done in heaven, that we might be living in the Spirit, Real religion, real relationship with God is not something you punch in and punch out like a time clock, any more than you can punch in and punch out of your marriage. I mean, nobody thinks of that. Nobody thinks that their marriage, like if you're married, you know, that when you leave home, it's like, see ya, honey. Now I'm single. I'm not in the house, so all romantic potential is before me. When I get home, I'll be married again. That would be a sick deal. Sick in the head. We call that an adulterer. So why would we consider our relationship with God of a lower caliber of commitment? Where we become Christians in church, but for the rest of the week, we are just like the rest of the world with the same values, the same goals, the same ambitions, the same freedoms, the same freedom to sin, the same options to sin as the rest of the world. That's cheap grace. Hashem does not want our pious Sabbath prayers unless they are offered by hearts that also seek Him the other 6 days of the week. Religion is not like a Purim spiel where you dress up as pious Queen Esther and righteous Mordecai and then take off the costume and go on with the rest of your life. Instead, it requires a life of faith and faithfulness, an ever-present sense of the fear of God, the conviction that He is real, that He punishes sin and He rewards righteousness, that there's an eye that sees, an ear that hears, and all your deeds are written in a book. Real faith is the practical outworking of that conviction that God is present, holding us accountable, even when we're not in church, even when we're not in the assembly, and even when no one else is watching. But that, I believe, was the message of the influencers, not the explicit message, but the implicit message that you could just punch in and punch out as long as you're a member in the club. Paul says they don't keep the Torah themselves. They're trying to get you to join their members-only club. They themselves aren't keeping the Torah. So Paul's trying to splash a little cold water in the face of the Galatians who are saying, let's just convert and then we're in. He's trying to splash a little cold water on this let's just convert plan. And he says in Galatians 5:2, he says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole Torah. Again, stating the obvious. If you become Jewish, you're going to be obligated to keep the whole Torah. Something the influencers themselves are not even doing. So what's the answer here? Well, next in Galatians, he's going to bring us to the answer. He's going to, you know, we're going to learn that the righteous live by faith. And Paul will say, obviously no one's justified before God. By this Torah, the Torah, because the righteous live by faith, not by membership in a club, but by a life of faith, which is expressed in faithfulness. And that's my prayer for you today, this week, every week, between the Sabbaths, that you will have life abundantly, in the way, the truth, the life, and you may live by faith. Shabbat Shalom.